Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Wrap-Up Podcast for a special episode. Ali Lasher could not be with me this week, but I do have the great Sydney Buxbaum, the author of How to Win at the Challenge and Life, basically the gospel on the challenge. Very excited to have her here with me. So, Sydney, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to have you here. We've been trying to lock this in for a few weeks now. Your book came out October 25th, so it's already on the shelves, ready to go. If people want to pick it up. So first, we'll just start with that. Where can people find it? Because I'm sure after this, they're going to want to read all about it. So where can people find the book and go ahead and purchase it?
Yeah, it is available wherever books are sold, whether you get them from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, real actual bookstores. A friend actually texted me a photo that he saw it on a bookshelf in an actual bookstore, which I was so wild to me. So yeah, wherever you buy your books, it's available there.
Perfect. So I just wanted to jump in first immediately with just kind of understanding your challenge kind of backstory. Like, what made you fall so in love with this show and like this world that you wanted to like basically write the book on it, because you wrote the book on it. So like, what is it about the challenge that you just fell in love with?
Yeah, I started watching it way back in like the late 90s when it premiered as not even a show called The Challenge. I was only 8 years old when it first premiered, so I didn't really understand quite a lot of the social aspects of it. But I don't know, there's just something about how real all of the people are. They're not trying to be fake. They're really, I mean, back then it was less of a competition, but sure. The way that it's evolved has also made me love it even more, because it's become something totally new and different through all its different eras. And the fact that we've seen most of the same people throughout the past 20 something years, and you've seen them grow and change, it feels like I'm watching a really extended soap opera of the same characters. And I also just love the social and analytical aspects of the game. I'm a huge fan of a lot of reality competition shows like Survivor, and the way that people approach the game from different ways is always so fascinating to me. I've been a fan of it for my entire life, basically. And then I'm also a pop culture journalist, so I've been covering it at Entertainment Weekly for the past few years, and building the coverage there has been really fun. And then when this book opportunity came along, it just felt like this amazing full circle moment.
Yeah. So the way the book works, you kind of dive in. I think it's 21 former winners. Mm-hmm. And you kind of go through kind of each of their individual backstories about how they win, things they've overcome, and kind of very cool behind the scenes stories from each of them. So how did you land on like this crop of winners? Because obviously, you know, 38 seasons has been a number of different winners. So what was it about these winners that you really wanted to highlight?
Yeah, it was really interesting how it unfolded, because when MTV Books brought the idea to me, they basically like had the title and the idea for the book already hammered out, but they had no idea who the champs would be or like what format the book would take. So that was all up to me. And so I gave them a wish list of about like 58 champions that I would just love to know more about their story. I mean, obviously like the big ones are up there, like yep. CT, Johnny Bananas, like Wes. I put forth like a huge long list, including basically anyone you would want to hear from about how they won the challenge. And then from there, it was just whoever replied, whoever wanted to be in it. There were a few that initially said that they wanted to be in it and then just stopped responding. And so there were a few really good ones that I was so excited when they said yes. And then when they just stopped responding or ghosted the interview, it was really heartbreaking. So I'm really excited about the ones that actually came through and did the interviews, because everyone was so open and honest, and a lot of them got really vulnerable in ways that we haven't seen from them on the show. So it was just a really cool experience with the ones who actually did the interviews.
Yeah, because I loved, you know, you kind of had, I think some of it was also some of the arrival of All Stars, but you had some of like the old school winners going back to like Yes and like people from back in the day, and then obviously the current winners. So whose stories do you think stuck out a little bit more? People who won, you know, 10, 15 years ago? Like whose stories really resonated with you that you spoke with?
Yeah, it's interesting, because there were some people who I expected their interviews to go one way, and then it went a completely different way. Like Jordan Wisely, you know, he's, you know, one of the newer competitors, one of the newer winners. He's still on the show now, but he was looking back on his past with, I think, a much more mature perspective than I was expecting from him. Because, I mean, we've seen him on the show not really being very open and vulnerable and honest and mature. So it was amazing to see how he shed his persona to be honest about his time on the show. And then I loved Johnny Bananas, if you're not listening to his Spotify podcast, you probably haven't heard him, you know, shed his persona as well. And so he was just a real human being looking back on his, you know, 20 something seasons with a very different eye than I would have expected. I loved Landon's interview because he has been out of the challenge world for so long. And I was honestly blown away that he even wanted to be involved in the book, because he's kind of stepped back from the public life and had kept his life really private. And so I got to dive deep with him about why he hasn't come back and, you know, what he thought about his experience on the show. I loved getting to talk with Jodi Weatherton, because I think she is one of the all-time best competitors, not just of, you know, the women competitors, but just out of everyone in general. And it was amazing to hear from her, because this was before she had come back for All Stars 2. Right. And so people hadn't heard from her in a while. But yeah, there were so many different perspectives too. Like, I loved hearing from Cynthia, who was on the very first season of the challenge. Like, her experience on the show was very different from everyone else that I'd interviewed. And it was amazing to hear just how everyone had taken their experiences and applied it to their real lives, because some of them have really changed their lives because of what happened on the show.
Yeah, one person I was actually kind of surprised to see pop up was Cara Maria, because, you know, we just had the four-part challenge doc where she was very noticeably not a part of it. Talked about a lot, but not a part of it. Mm-hmm. So what did you pick up from her being with her, where she feels she sits right now in, like, the challenge world? Because I think there's a lot of people wanting for her to come back. I think there's still a lot of resentment with things that went down with, like, her and Paulie's, that situation on the show. So where does she see herself fitting in, like, the challenge world right now?
Yeah. Fun fact, I was also shocked that she wasn't in the docuseries, because I am the one that you see in the series talking about her and all of her achievements, because I 100% thought she was going to give an interview. Right. So that had me scratching my head. I didn't realize that I'd become the Cara Maria spokesperson on accident. But I will take that job, because I love her. Absolutely. I think she's one of the best of all time. And yeah, it was interesting talking with her too, because she also doesn't really know why she hasn't been, you know, back on the show. Like, she took some time off intentionally, because she saw that she basically understands why everyone hated her on War of the Worlds 2. And she regrets her attitude on the show and how that all went down. And so she took some time away. She worked on herself. She talked a lot about how she has gotten back to be the Cara Maria that people love and would root for. And she sees that she's better as the underdog than, like, someone running the game. And so she definitely wants to come back. And it's fascinating to see that she wasn't invited to do the docuseries. And I don't know what that means for her future, but she definitely wants to get back into the world. And I think if she does, we'll see a Cara Maria that we used to know and love from back in the time.
Yeah, I would love that for sure. So obviously you go through, these are all winners that you talk to. Was there any thought to include anyone that, like, just almost has won, has never won, that people would be wanting to win? Or did you really just want to focus on, like, the winners and their stories about how they, you know, succeeded on the show?
Yeah, I think for this book specifically, even with, like, the title alone, like, MTV just wanted winners, I would be so interested in either doing another book or even just, you know, more interviews of people who have come so close. And because I think that experience is extremely different from the champions. Yeah. But I would have loved to include TJ. I think he's one of the biggest winners of the challenge without ever having played. This one was just focusing on the actual winners. So
Is there anyone that you want to see win really badly so they can be included in, like, the version 2 of this? Like, who were you like, damn, I wish they got their win so I could just include them in this?
Yes, Leroy is, like, one of the best to play the game, and yet he's never won. And I think a lot of that is because he wasn't trying as hard as he was in his final season on Double Agents. But I think if he had played the way that he played on Double Agents throughout his entire career, he absolutely would be a multi-time winner at this point.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to also get back to the documentary, because like this book kind of coincides very well with that. So how did you feel the formal documentary kind of covered kind of the evolution of the challenge as well? What were your thoughts on like how MTV specifically covered kind of their own show?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really, really creative how they formatted it. I feel like they were able to cover a lot in such a short amount of time. I also think that they could have gone a lot deeper. I think mm-hmm. there were a lot of things that were glossed over and not even mentioned and not touched upon. That is such a big part of the Challenge franchise that I think a lot of fans who know the show were mm-hmm. left wanting more, and like not in a good way. I think they were trying to focus on just the good parts, but you also, you know, the bad parts go hand in hand with that. So I understand why they would want to not mention some names or some moments, but I think mm-hmm. to make a docuseries about the entire history of something, you have to include the low moments as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's something Ali and I definitely both talked about, how, you know, they kind of glossed over a little bit with some of the Jordan stuff in his past and some other things in people's past, and then very noticeably not mentioning people's names that couldn't be part of it. But I think what, you know, the Challenge has been on the air for 20 plus years. There's going to be scandals that come along the way. No show mm-hmm. is perfect. So I found it very disappointing, like you said, about that they wouldn't, you know, touch on it, like, you know, show how much you've overcome, so much you've changed. Like the Challenge has really tried to make an effort to change and kind of grow with the times. And sometimes on some issues, they've been ahead of the times and they mm-hmm. talked about that too, which is great. But then also show like where things they have to catch up on. So that was one part that I was a little disappointed they didn't, you know, talk about and like, you know, show their own faults.
Yeah, that's so real. And we've seen it in recent seasons too, about how the show is trying to be better than it was in the past. And I think in some instances, the show goes a little bit too far, like in the censorship mm-hmm. of like some people who've made mistakes in recent seasons. And instead of, you know, showing it and explaining it, they just kind of cut them out. And it felt the same way with the docuseries. But there's been so many instances where the show has gotten better in so many ways that it feels almost unfair to not show that growth, because it has improved and it has evolved in really helpful and impactful ways. And I just don't think it touched on that enough.
Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned you're also a fan of Survivor. Mm-hmm. And the last few seasons, Survivor's kind of dubbed itself and like it's the new era of Survivor. And I kind of feel like the Challenge is a little bit in that too, with the last few years where they really added a lot of international players from, you know, every show possibly imaginable, and then really kind of doubling down on like this new crop of vets like Tori and Devin and people like that. So how do you view kind of the state of the Challenge right now? Do you feel like it's in a good place? Are you kind of worried about the direction it's going? What are your kind of feelings right now about where the Challenge is?
I did start to get worried in the last season, because it did feel like there were too many new people. And mm-hmm. I mean, we're only 6 episodes into this new season, and it feels like it definitely has course corrected. Like there's a lot more recognizable faces. The spy theme is gone. It feels really back to the basics. And I think the simpler, the better when it comes to that. And so I do think we have been in a new era, because it was really necessary. Most of our fan favorite winners and players are definitely aging out and can't do mm-hmm. this the way that they used to. And so they need new blood. But I think they were trying to bring in too much at the same time. And when the rookies outnumber the vets, and the rookies that like we've never even seen before on like American TV shows, I think that mm-hmm. was turning a lot of people off, because yeah, we come for the challenges and the eliminations and the politicking, but at its core, we all come back for these characters. And if we don't have the recognizable faces that bring us back season after season, you're just going to lose your entire fan base. So I love that this season they're leaning into like the old school and new school vets, and like especially from this week's episode alone, they're like all the vets have become fired up in a way that feels like old school Challenge. And I'm so excited to see where the franchise goes from here, because it seems like the fans are really responding well to this season. And it's a new era, but it still feels like classic Challenge.
Yeah. Are there any specific changes or format ideas you've had that you're like hoping, you know, you could kind of like drop a line to a producer like, hey, why don't you do something like this? Is there anything you want them to try to push to do a little bit more in future seasons?
Yeah, I want to see Invasion of the Champions, but done the right way. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest missed opportunity in the challenge history. The fact that they had all of these incredible champions on a team together, and then instead of having them actually go against the underdogs, they had to go against each other. And I wanted to see the champions wipe the floor with those mm-hmm. underdogs, but they were always outnumbered by like at least two people. And it just felt like a waste of a season. And it was such a good idea. So yeah, I want them to do Invasion of the Champions, but the right way.
Yeah. So one of the other big developments from the challenge world was obviously the Challenge USA spinoff this year. And then I think the Challenge Australia version is going on now. And then a couple other ones. And then I imagine like the World Championship thing will happen sometime next year. So what do you think, why now for that type of show? Like, why do you think CBS and MTV kind of pulled the cord to kind of do that now? What kind of caused that in your mind, do you think, to really push that new spinoff?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a really boring answer. And I think it comes down to the CBS MTV, like Viacom merger, mm-hmm. and now they're all owned by the same company. So they can have this, you know, cross network franchise. I mean, Paramount Plus, we saw the success of All Stars, and I think that just showed that the challenge could exist in more places than just MTV.
Yep.
It's such a boring answer, but I'm so happy that it exists because the Challenge USA was incredible. I know that the finale ended in such a disappointing way, and I could talk about that for hours, but I think that it was a success, minus the way that it ended, because they mm-hmm. brought all of these really legendary players from these other shows, and we got to see them take on the challenge with their different show strategies. And I mean, it was fantastic. I hope that we get more seasons of it. I'm cautiously excited for the Global Champion spinoff. Yep. Let's just hope that they have a better final.
Prepare for the cold. If you're going to go climbing up a mountain. Yeah, that whole season, even like the whole time, it just felt like a giant fever dream where you're seeing like Tyson and TJ interact. It's like the type of thing that someone like pitches in like a fan forum and you're like, yeah, this thing is never going to happen. It was just so bizarre. And yeah, it ended, unfortunately, would be a word you can use to describe it. But I think it's the type of thing where you're going to look back on in a couple of years and I think you're going to remember the good things and then just, you know, look at the train wreck of a finale, but it kind of makes it iconic. Like the fact that like, it's one of the more iconic moments in like the CBS Viacom MTV world that like, you're never going to forget it. So at mm-hmm. least people are a part of it to kind of enjoy it. And then also All Stars is a spinoff. What are your feelings on kind of the arrival of people coming from the past? Are you enjoying All Stars as the spinoff as well?
Oh my God. Yeah. I think the introduction of All Stars has been one of the best things to happen to the challenge. It brought back that OG feeling, but like, I mean, I'll never forget watching the very first episode where they're having all of these like 40s, 50s, like older players who are not as in shape anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're all expecting backyard games and they're thrown into an actual daily challenge that we're seeing on the main franchise. And like everyone was DQing, people needed to be dragged out of the water by the paramedics. Like I was laughing and the music just made it even more comedic. And I, ever since that episode, I was like, I know that this is a hit. Mm-hmm. This was an instant hit. It's just such a different vibe than the main flagship, which I still love the main flagship, but like this, it's just a great addition. It's bringing back a lot of old fans too, who mm-hmm. have dropped off with watching the challenge. So it's only growing the fandom even more. And I think there's nothing, nothing but good things about it.
Yeah. And honestly, that was one of my favorite chapters of your book was the John A chapter. Cause John A has been, I think one of the more interesting people in like the challenge world over the last few years, like her renaissance from where she was like with Zach and that horrible relationship on the challenge proper to now her emerging as like this queen bee, and she kind of goes into that like evolution of herself as a person on the show. So the John A stuff was, I found it just be one of the more interesting people on the show. What was your vibe like talking to her? Did you get the same kind of similar story?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Then fun fact about that, I actually did John A's interview before All Stars 3 aired. Mm. And so I actually had to do a follow-up interview with her after, because like like, I mean, all the people on MTV side were like, you have to include All Stars 3. And I was like, right. I haven't seen it. So I had to do a second interview with her to make sure that we got all the details about that, because to go from never making it to a single final, having one of the most abysmal elimination records, to then winning two championships back to back in like literally immediately after making it all the way to the finish line of the final and tying with another woman for like the first place of the women, that it's 7 months postpartum, no less. Like she really came back as and proved why she's one of the best in the game, which is like, if you would have said that about Jhené during her regular run, everyone would have thought that you were crazy.
Yep. Would you like to see her or anyone else that's been on All Stars kind of make the light back to proper, or do you kind of like keeping these worlds a little bit separate?
I do like how, I mean, they're not really separate though, because we're seeing Darrell, Veronica, Jordan, like Wes, everyone's kind of going to both now. So I don't think that distinction really exists anymore. But for the people who have come back for All Stars and who haven't made it to the flagship, I don't know. Like, I don't think Jhené would do as well on the flagship, because I think she I don't know. That's actually a really interesting question. I haven't thought about that. I think
it would be tough for her, because like how like I think what she does so well is building the connections, which I think she could do fresh out the gate, but not, you know, how is she going to connect with like Caracio, like coming to a new season? I think it'll be very difficult. Even like some of the newer vets, I don't know how close she is with like Tori and Devin and stuff like that. So I think it would be a bit of a hurdle for her to get through. But I'm at this point, I'm not going to count Jhené out of anything. If she does it, I think she can do it. But I would find it to be difficult for her to kind of do it.
Yeah, I mean, we've also seen that exact issue with Darrell. Like, he's having such a hard time connecting with these like 20 something new rookies, and he's at this point, he's like stopped even trying. And I think obviously Jhené has a much better social game than Darrell, but I think she would face a lot of the same issues.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, you touched on that you covered CT and Bananas as kind of a, you know, 5-time champ, 7-time champ, and ever since CT's last win, the big debate is, I feel like, has kind of popped up about who's the GOAT of the challenge. I think they even did that as a full episode on the challenge doc. So in your expert mind, person who wrote the book on the challenge, who in Sydney's mind is the GOAT of the challenge?
I get in such trouble for this, because my Entertainment Weekly colleague and I, we actually made a ranking of the top 50 challengers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before Jhené won his before CT won his fourth championship, we had Bananas as number one. And as soon as CT won his fourth, we put CT as number one. And then once he got his fifth win, that was solidified. And we've gotten so much hate over that. People are very passionate about it. I've been contacted by people who are both on the list and not on the list about why the list is wrong. People feel very strongly about it, so I get in trouble for this a lot. But CT is the absolute GOAT. I think he has it all. He's got the brains. He's got the brawn. He's got the social politics. You don't want to go against him in anything. You don't want to go against him in a daily challenge, in an elimination, or a final. He will beat you hands down. No one can play the game like he does. He does it all from his shadows. He has all of these political deals. He knows how to fly under the radar. He also can do really well when he's public enemy number one. Nobody can do it like him.
If he comes back again, coming back single, now he'll have all the women kind of flocking him again. So he's got that part to play as well. So who was the most vocal that was upset about either being off the list or down the list? I don't want you to spoil your sources, but I would love to know who was most upset about where they stood or didn't stand.
I mean, they were not anonymous, because they posted it on their own social media. So Corey and Nelson felt some type of way, because they were not on the list at all.
Nelson, I mean, we realized, Nelson, you haven't won a daily in 7 years. Like, I don't think you could be on the list of top players ever.
Because we do have some non-winners on the list, but for reasons that, you know, they're great at the game. And I just, as much as I love watching Corey Nelson and I love seeing their evolution and how much better they've gotten at the game, I don't think we'll ever see them win. I don't think they have the number one, you have to be able to do a puzzle on your own and like be good at doing a puzzle, because sure. there's going to be times during a final where you're going to have to do a puzzle on your own. And I don't think we've seen both of them fail in that many, many times. So
yeah,
I think you have to have that one skill to win.
Yeah. Among so obviously, people. So I think it's, you know, we're six episodes into Ride or Die now. So what are your feelings on the current season? How do you think the format is going, pairing people that are friends together? What are your thoughts on the format?
I love this season. I love so many things about it. I think the format is fantastic. The fact that it is forcing people to make so many enemies whenever they have power. I think the one downside to that is we're seeing a lot of the people who could win daily challenges are maybe not trying to win at this point,
right.
because they don't want the blood on their hands. But I think that it's created so much real drama and not fake drama. I love seeing people paired. I love how it's the exact opposite of Rivals, because Rivals is my favorite. Like Rivals 1 is my favorite season of all time, favorite format. Yeah. And having it be this like loving mirror image of that is just really fascinating. I love seeing people who can actually depend on their teammate and want their teammate to do well. Because it's kind of, we saw how toxic it was in like Rivals and Exes when they didn't support their teammate. Mm-hmm. So that's really great. I don't understand why they have some of the pairs that they do. I think a lot of people were given the choice to bring someone from home that like maybe they should have had someone from the show that like we've seen why they're ride or dies. A lot of the rookies, like we don't know why they're ride or dies. We've seen really nothing from them. So I think that the pairs could have been picked a little bit better, but I mean, aside from those like small complaints, this season has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. It has been only a few episodes and I'm so invested in the drama. We've gotten some really shocking decisions, some great eliminations, already so many hookups, which I think the past few seasons have really been missing.
It has been. Yeah. I mean, in the last few seasons, everyone's like married in relationships. And now, I mean, sorry to see their relationships fall, but all these relationships are falling apart, but at least now they're coming in single. So at least there's, you know, we got some of that to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why the challenge is so different from any other reality competition series is you've got a lot of like the highbrow competition mm-hmm. aspects, but you also have the lowbrow where people are getting drunk and hooking up and you have all that relationship drama. And like the fact that this one show has both sides of that is really mm-hmm. special. And I mean, there were a few seasons, I think it was like Double Agents maybe, where we knew that there were hookup arcs happening in the house and just none of it made the show. I think that is such a mistake. You have to have all of that to make it a real season of the challenge.
It's odd, you know, especially because, you know, last few years they've moved to these 90-minute episodes. So they have so much time to kind of cover stuff. And I know obviously like the daily and the elimination are going to be a good chunk of it, but they have a lot of extra time that they can use to include these like goofy moments or, you know, the relationship stuff that I feel like the fans really want just as much, if not sometimes more than, you know, the jumping off the building and like the intense elimination. So I don't know what this current production team is going for that they don't want to include that. But I feel like that is, you know, that is the secret sauce that makes the challenge. It's not just, you know, if you want people watch to do extreme stuff, you go watch like a professional sport or like a lot of other things. You go watch competitions. It's like that. The relationship building that the challenge has that, hey, I don't know why they steer away from that sometimes when that's like what makes the show.
Yeah, exactly. And you're so right. Like the move to 90 minutes has been amazing because there always is so much more that we could see. And yet in previous seasons, we still weren't getting enough. And I feel like this season we're finally getting the perfect balance. Like we have so obviously there's a lot to see in the challenge and elimination, but we're also getting so much house drama. And I think that once again, they're finding the perfect balance. And I think they're doing everything right this season so far. So.
Yeah. And then last thing, just going back to your book for 1 second, is there anyone that you kind of came in before speaking with like a preconceived notion of them, either positive or negatively? And then after speaking with them, it really flipped. I guess we'll keep it positive. So anyone you didn't have like a great feeling about, and then afterwards you're like, oh, this person's like really awesome. I really wish I was rooting for them more. I'm going to root for them more in the future. Anyone that really stood out for you?
Oh, that is a really good question. Let me think. Because there were, I mean, a lot of them went in very different directions than I expected. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't really know what to expect from Derek Kaczynski's interview mm-hmm. because he always just seems very, like, wanting to have a good time, almost larger than life personality. And he came to the interview with a lot more, like, emotion than I expected. I got to see just how much he really wanted to get his first win and just how hard it was for him to get it. And then how that changed his life moving forward. So yeah, he really surprised me in that way. Rachel Robinson too, her interview was amazing. We had obviously learned on Dirty 30 that she and Veronica actually were in a relationship that wasn't shown mm-hmm. on the show. So I wasn't expecting her to talk about that relationship as open as she did. And she got really honest about how she regrets not having that be shown on screen, because that would have been a major step forward for representation on TV. And so that was a really pleasant surprise for me.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously, so the book is not just How to Win at the Challenge, it's How to Win Challenge and Life. So is there any key takeaway that you've started to apply to yourself that, you know, you've learned when you were writing this book that, you know, you feel like you're making yourself a better person or making yourself more successful? Any key takeaway that you've had?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, when I was told what the angle of the book was going to be, I was not really expecting there to be much self-help guidance from a bunch of reality TV stars, mm-hmm. but I was really, I was fascinated by how everyone had different lessons that they took from their time on the show, but the biggest common denominator was how they learned more from their mistakes and their failures than they did from their successes, and how they would all take their lowest moments and learn from them and grow from that instead of just using their success to push them through life. And so I think that that was a really great way to kind of reframe your own way of looking at your life. And you know, nobody's success is a linear line going up. Everyone has peaks and valleys. And I think looking at any, you know, low points in your life and reframing it as, you know what, there's something to be learned from this rather than, oh my God, I've failed. I've messed up at something. That's just helped me overall since doing all these interviews.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. So Sydney, this was so great to chat with you. Really appreciate everything. Where can people keep up with you? Where can they find all your work? Obviously, we talked about the book and finding that, but what about just anything that you're in particularly working on?
Yeah, you can find all my work at EW.com or on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Sydney Buxbaum. That's pretty much where I post everything. So
maybe just Instagram after, you know, this one might just be Instagram. So make sure you follow her there. Twitter might be dead by the time this post. So you never know. But fantastic. And obviously you can subscribe to this. Rob has a website.com/challenge iTunes. Me and Allie will be back recapping episode 6 soon. So be looking look out for that. Follow me, Colin Brown_. And that's it. Sydney, thank you so much again. Everyone buy the book. Great read. Very fascinating stuff. A lot of cool insights. So check that out for sure. Until next time, have a good one.